3. Some hours later, Roland called a halt and told them to be ready.
For what?
Eddie asked. Roland glanced at him. Anything. It was perhaps 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They were standing at a point where the great road crested a long, rolling drumlin, which ran diagonally across the plain like a wrinkle in the world's biggest bedspread. Below and beyond, the road ran through the first real town they had seen. It looked deserted, but Eddie had not forgotten the conversation that morning. Roland's question, "Will a strange dog bite?" no longer seemed quite so zenny.
"Jake? What?"
Eddie nodded to the butt of the Ruger, which protruded from the waistband of Jake's blue jeans, the extra pair he had tucked into his pack before leaving home.
"Do you want me to carry that?"
Jake glanced at Roland. The gunslinger only shrugged, as if to say, "It's your choice."
"Okay."
Jake handed it over. He unshouldered his pack, rummaged through it, and brought out the loaded clip. He could remember reaching behind the hanging files in one of his father's desk drawers to get it, but all that seemed to have occurred a long, long time ago. These days, thinking about his life in New York and his career as a student at Piper was like looking into the wrong end of a telescope. Eddie took the clip, examined it, rammed it home, checked the safety, then stuck the Ruger in his own belt. "Listen closely and heed me well," Roland said. "If there are people, they'll likely be old and much more frightened of us than we are of them. The younger folk will be long gone. It's unlikely that those left will have firearms. In fact, ours may be the first guns many of them have ever seen, except maybe for a picture or two in the old books. Make no threatening gestures. And the childhood rule is a good one. Speak only when spoken to."
"What about bows and arrows?" Susanna asked.
"Yes, they may have those. Spears and clubs as well."
"Don't forget rocks,"
Eddie said bleakly, looking down at the cluster of wooden buildings. The place looked like a ghost town, but who knew for sure?
"And if they're hot up for rocks, there's always the cobbles from the road."
"Yes, there's always something," Roland agreed. "But we'll start no trouble ourselves. Is that clear?" They nodded.
"Maybe it would be easier to detour around," Susanna said.
Roland nodded, eyes never leaving the simple geography ahead. Another road crossed the great road at the center of the town, making the dilapidated buildings look like a target centered in the telescopic sight of a high-powered rifle. "It would, but we won't. Detouring's a bad habit that's easy to get into. It's always better to go straight on, unless there's a good, visible reason not to. I see no reason not to here. And if there are people, well, that might be a good thing. We could do with a little palaver." Susanna reflected that Roland seemed different now, and she didn't think it was simply because the voices in his mind had ceased.
"This is the way he was when he still had wars to fight and men to lead and his old friends around him," she thought. "How he was before the world moved on, and he moved on with it, chasing that man Walter. This is how he was before the big empty turned him inward on himself and made him strange."
"They might know what those drum sounds are," Jake suggested.
Roland nodded again. Anything they know, particularly about the city, would come in handy. But there's no need to think ahead too much about people who may not even be there.
"Tell you what," Susanna said, "I wouldn't come out if I saw us. 4 people, 3 of them armed. We probably look like a gang of those old-time outlaws in your stories, Roland. What do you call them?"
"Harriers." His left hand dropped to the sandalwood grip of his remaining revolver, and he pulled it a little way out of the holster. But no harrier ever born carried one of these, and if there are old-timers in yon village, they'll know it. Let's go. Jake glanced behind them and saw the bumbler lying in the road with his muzzle between his short front paws, watching them closely.
"Oi!"
Jake called.
"Oi!"
the bumbler echoed, and scrambled to its feet at once. They started down the shallow knoll toward the town, with Oi trotting along behind them.